Breaking news. President Trump is back in office, and in one day, he has wasted no time. Welcome back to the channel, y'all. Make sure we're going to have a great conversation today. Type where you're from in the chat. Let's really get into the show. I'm super excited. We got a lot to speak about today. I just want to make sure you guys can hear me good, you see me good. Everything is loud and clear. Thank you guys for joining me tonight, but we're going to have a good conversation. We got a lot to discuss, all right? But I just want to make sure, hit the like button, make sure you subscribe, because this is probably going to be one of those ones. And it's going to be a lot of information in here that a lot of you can take and use, and hopefully it will set your 2025 off. But let's get into it, man. We got an action, like I said, an action-packed show. Okay, hold on. Action-packed, man. So I just want to get into this. Like I said, President Trump's executive order is shaking up the housing market with promises. A lot of promises right now of lower costs and increased supply. But what does this mean for us as home buyers, us real estate investors? If you're a home buyer, first-time home buyer, type it in chat. If you're a real estate investor, type it in chat. But tonight, I'm going to try to unpack, you know, some of these changes and how it could impact your next move in real estate. All right. And then, you know, I'm trying to work on that right now. A couple of you, shout out to Byron. I saw you in the comments asking about Fundamental Fridays, and a couple of you guys asked me about Fundamental Fridays. And we had some technical difficulties with the Wi-Fi in the Zoom last Friday. But I'm trying to bring on my special guest, Maya, to talk about her 203K journey and how I was able to save her $10,000 on that deal as well. Probably a little bit more now because rates has dropped a little bit and the cost got a little bit better in her favor. So I'm working on getting her in on today's show too. But we're going to play that by ear as of right now. But stay tuned. Stay tuned for that one. All right. So President Trump. Order aims to provide emergency price relief in the housing sector by instructing federal agencies to identify and eliminate regulations that could contribute to high housing costs. So here's some of the key points of Trump's executive orders and how they could potentially, I want to keep emphasizing, I wish I could put all caps on the screen right now, potentially benefit home buyers and investors. Again, this is just the beginning. They're just executive orders. I just want to make this clear. There's not a lot of information out about the exact plan of everything that's going to happen, that's going to impact us. Again, this is only day one, but within the next 30 days, we should have a lot more details. All right. But here's my thoughts on the whole scenario. One of the things in the executive orders is that he mentioned is lowering costs to increase supply. So by eliminating zoning laws and cutting red tapes in construction, home builders and developers can build more quickly and at lower costs. This could increase the housing inventory, especially in high demand areas, reducing competition amongst buyers and making homes more affordable. First-time home buyers stand benefit the most from an increased supply because it might stabilize the housing market and lower entry-level home prices. But some of the cons of this, while the policy aims to lower costs, results might not materialize quickly enough to help home buyers in 2025. So that's one of the cons, right? When you put these type of things in place, there's rules and regulations, and it's usually a drag of it. So it might not help you in 2025, because there's already so many constraints in the market today. But lower prices might not apply even nationwide. Like, especially if you, especially if you're talking about affluent areas, it may see minimum impact compared to some of the rural areas and regions of America. So places like LA, DC, New York, you might not see any reprieve in these prices because, unfortunately, in those areas, it's up and stuck, baby. If the supply increases outpaces the demand in certain areas, investors might face difficulty achieving returns on rental properties. So lower cost, increasing supplies has good pros to it. It has cons to it. But again, time will tell once they start breaking things down more. Now, economic growth and job creation is one of the things that he mentioned in his executive order. Now, this is the focus on deregulation and boosting fossil fuel production, and it's intended to stimulate economic growth and create jobs. A stronger economy can lead to increased consumer confidence and spending power, benefiting both home buyers and real estate and investors. All right. To cut other household expenses was another thing that they mentioned. Look, here's the pro of this, right? If we cut, because look, no matter if you are renting or if you are a homeowner, utility costs across the board is astronomical, right? Just to keep, like, right now, heat is on 24/7. I'm not looking forward to my heating bill. I'm not going to hold you guys up. Like, if you got an astronomical heating bill right now, type yes in chat. If your heating bill has been astronomical, type yes in chat, right? Because this shit is getting out of control. So the pro of if he want to lower household expenses, that would be great, because the maintenance of keeping up your home sometimes can bury people who are already living paycheck to paycheck. So if energy savings are something that's down the pipeline and that's going to help, me personally, y'all, I am all for that. Now, the con of expanding fossil fuel production, right, and shifting away from renewable energy initiatives might lead to long-term environmental damage, potentially reducing property values in regions affected by fossil fuel production. So buyers in these areas with energy intense housing, right, like older homes with poor insulation, might not see significant cost savings unless upgrades are made to their homes. Obviously, now they're going to have to put more money into it, right? So there's pros and cons to the quote-unquote cutting of household expenses. But I think overall, everyone that's watching this live, and shout out to almost 300 of us watching this live, fucking like the hit the like button, share this with 10 more people. Let's get this up to 400 or 500 people. But we all would love to see lower costs when it comes to our household expenses. Now, boosting employment and creating jobs. The pros of this is increased job opportunities in construction, energy, and related industries can stimulate local economies, making real estate investment in these areas more attractive. Rising employment rates often lead to higher housing demand, which benefits both buyers looking to build equity and investors seeking rental income. New construction jobs might also provide career pathways for underserved communities, leading to long economic growth. Now, this is something that I preach about. If you follow me on Instagram, you see me on live, you come to any of my classes, I'm always telling you guys, if you want to get into real estate, get into the business of real estate, transactional business. You don't have to get into real estate just being an investor. You can get into the real estate in many different fields. Like, I've had so many different people come here. I've even started doing content around becoming a loan officer. Obviously, you can get your real estate license, but other areas, right? Getting into the construction biz, like, we all have issues with contractors. And if you're someone who's real handy, then maybe you should start seeking out a pathway to becoming a general contractor, right? A home inspector, right? A HUD inspector. There's so many different career opportunities in the real estate space that everyone that's watching this live should start taking more seriously if you want to get into real estate and make more money. So boosting employment and creating more jobs in our sector is always a good thing to me. Now, job creation is a con. Job creation might be temporary because it might be tied primarily to construction projects or short-term energy initiatives, leaving communities vulnerable when projects end, right? And that's one thing. And I think everybody can attest to this because everywhere around America, they're building something. When those projects end, where's the next job coming from? So if people start flooding the market to these type of jobs and there's not enough work, that can lead to an issue as well. Again, but here's the flip side of this again. That's why people like myself teach about funding deals, real estate investment, becoming a developer. You guys have an opportunity. And I think I've said this on several live over 2023 and 2024. The home building industry, if you want to be a developer, build homes, things of that nature, that is a huge opportunity for anybody who's watching this. So you can be the problem to the you can be the solution to the problems in your own areas, right? Now, here's one of the big things in the executive orders that I love: reducing construction regulations, right? Simplified permitting processes and zoning changes can reduce construction timelines, helping developers meet market demand faster. Low cost for builders could translate into lower purchase prices or rents for end users, benefiting both buyers and renters. Investors may find it easier to develop multifamily properties or renovate distressed homes, expanding their portfolios. Now, in chat, I want to ask everybody in chat, right? Have you guys had experience with building homes, with experience with getting permits, things of that nature? Type in chat yes or no. Type in chat yes or no if you have had experience with going through the permitting process, working with architects, like all that red tape, right? That red tape, if anybody, you have that experience, you can probably attest to this firsthand. If Trump and his team can somehow regulate that, like reducing construction regulations nationwide and making it like universal in every township, like, yo, that would be incredible. I'm not gonna hold you up, because getting permits, especially here in New York, if you are in New York, you understand the pain that it goes through to get your permits, go through inspections. Like, it is a pain in the ass, and it takes God knows how long. So, yo, you got to really, really understand when it comes to construction regulations. I hope that there will be some good changes on that, right? Because we need it, right? We need it. In order for more homes to be built, we need a streamlined, simplified process for this, right? And honestly, I don't really see no cons in reducing construction regulations, me personally. Maybe I'm just biased on this one. Type in chat if you see some cons with Trump saying that he wants to reduce construction regulations. But me personally, I don't see a problem with that at all. I'm here for it. Now, here's another big thing. And I think this could be, I don't know how I really feel about this until I see more about it, but open federal land for housing. I know my guys, the Acre Boys, are probably like they loving this part, right? The federal land play. All right. Now, the pro in opening federal land for housing is developing federal land offers a unique opportunity to create affordable housing in regions where private land is scarce or expensive. This could unlock new areas of development, spurring economic growth, and providing opportunities for first-time homebuyers and to low middle-income families. For investors now, federal land projects might offer access to undervalued markets or emerging communities with high growth potential. Now, like I said, I love this, but I need to learn more because I'm not a land buyer. I will have to get, matter of fact, I'll probably get the Acre Boys on here one day to kind of break this all down in a little bit more details, because that's what they specialize in. But me personally, if there's land just sitting and that the government owns and it could be used for housing, I look at that as a win, in my opinion, personally, just off the surface level of me knowing real estate, right? Because they're not making no new land. And if the government owns a bunch of land that's not being used and is being used for nothing or foolishness, we need more houses. It's a win-win to me in that case, right? Now, how can this help overall? With the information that I just said and the information that we all know so far, again, this is only one day into his presidency, so there's a lot more to be developed. And as it comes out, I will be the first to try to tell you this information. But how could this help homebuyers? Right now, in my personal opinion, these executive orders that are focused on housing could create affordable housing, lower living expenses, and greater opportunities, okay, for you homebuyers. So again, if you're a first-time homebuyer, you're looking to buy a primary residence, you type that in chat, this could be beneficial to you. Now, how could this hurt you? Delayed benefits, environmental risk, and quality concerns, right? Delayed benefits is the big one for me, because who knows when the hell this is going to take place, right? It's not probably going, a lot of this stuff is probably not going to happen right now, today, tomorrow, a week from now, 2 months from now. So in my opinion, if you're a home buyer or even an investor, it's business as usual. Go out here and buy until things start to change. You don't never want to wait for the government to intervene for you to start investing or buying homes. Intervene and things starts to really come out and play, you might be behind the eight ball, right? Now, for investors, this is going to open up new markets, right? Especially with that federal land development. This can definitely open up new markets. It could also increase rental demand and lower our costs as investors. So again, we all know Trump is a real estate guy and he loves real estate. It is something else that he didn't even mention yet, which I know is going to come down the pipeline any moment, is the tax play in all of this, because there's a lot of tax laws, especially when you're talking cost segregation report studies and things of that nature, where their bonus depreciation have been declining. And it's supposed to phase out to 2027. But I think just from what I'm hearing and speaking to a lot of people in the accounting world that know taxes way better than me, a lot of my tax strategists feel that Trump is going to push that back and go back to 100% depreciation, which would be amazing for all of us real estate investors. But that's not in this executive order. That's come to follow. But I think as an investor, we'll open up new markets, increase rental demand, and lower our costs. How can we lose, right? But again, there's always, we flip a coin, there's always another side to it, right? There's a lot of uncertainty with all of this, right? Overbuilding can definitely be a problem. If it creates too much product and too much supply, this can lower home prices and also lower rental demands, which on the flip side can help renters and home buyers. But from an investor standpoint, what we're looking for, the maximum returns that we can make, this could definitely potentially hurt us. But I will say all this to say too, right? There is no way that they can build 7 million homes, 6 million homes in 1 year. It's not going to happen. To increase the supply and the that we need to make this a real balanced market, it will probably take 10 years and a lot of deregulation within the government. So don't get your hopes up too high, ladies and gentlemen. I say all this to say, don't get your hopes up too high on a lot of this stuff, because again, it's just the beginning. And we really don't know exactly what is going to happen right now. We don't. But hell, it's only one way but up. We can't get any worse than what we've been, in my opinion. I mean, that's just me for mods. You can't get any worse than it would have been. It's only up for here. Now, here's a few things, right, to capitalize on the real estate opportunities under the Trump administration. This is what I think investors and home buyers should consider these following action items. Now, I need you guys to type this in chat for me, so I'm going to read this through slow, right? These are 10 things I'm going to give you guys that you guys need to be focused on to capitalize. Number one is monitor policy changes, right? Tap into all your local news sources from a local to a federal, national level. Tap into MG the Mortgage Guy, Rants and Gems. Tap in to know about these policy changes and really do your own due diligence and research to make sure that you know exactly what's happening, so that way you can capitalize. Like I said this last week when I was at the Brooklyn Bank, we can't control who was in the office to a certain extent. We can only control what we can control. So maximize, learn, and learn how to use these policy changes to the best advantage that we can. So type that in chat. Number one is monitor policy changes. Number two is leverage tax incentives. Real estate investing, and even if you're buying multifamilies to live in as a primary residence, the tax code is in your favor. 95% of you have no clue about the tax code, how to really leverage this, and how to minimize paying taxes. The tax code is not just built for the rich, the wealthy, and the famous. It is built for the everyday person. The everyday person, what is it, almost 400 of y'all in here right now watching me live. Like the damn video and share it to 10 more people. Let's get up to 500, okay? But every single last one of y'all who are watching this live is going to watch this on the replay have the same tax code that everybody else has. You need to have the right team. You need to understand what real estate can really do for you and how it can really help you pay no taxes, because everybody has that same opportunity. Three, evaluate opportunity zones. Continue to learn about opportunity zones. What is an opportunity zone? Opportunities in these opportunity zones for you to make money, okay? So number three thing is evaluate opportunity zones. Number four, understanding your financing options. I cannot stress this enough. One of the two most important things in real estate, in my personal professional opinion, is construction and financing. And I will put financing before construction, because if you know how to fund a deal, then you'll be able to do construction on that deal. But if you can't fund the deal, ain't no damn construction. You understand what I'm saying? So tapping into my content, I teach real estate financing, not just for first-time home buyers, not just for first-time investors. But if you're in any of my programs, if you are in my mentorship, you will learn how to scale your portfolio, how to use these tools, leverage and build wealth, and then also how to pay no taxes with using these products to help you get these bricks, right? We need the bricks. The bricks are your friend, ladies and gentlemen. I know we all love stock options, and I know y'all buying the Trump coins and all this other good stuff because y'all want that quick money. I get it. But the long-term wealth is built through real estate. And if you want to sustain that wealth and minimize your taxes, you need to understand how to fund these deals. And that's what I'm here for, is to help you learn that better. Number five, focus on growth markets. Okay. What time is it? 7:30. All right, let me speed this up. Focus on growth markets is number five. Number six, diversify your portfolio. Number seven, stay agile with interest rates. A lot of you focus too much on interest rates and blah, blah, blah. It's high today, low tomorrow. Who cares? Focus on a deal. Focus on a number. Cash rules everything around me. The interest rates, if you buy an investment property, somebody else is paying for it anyway. So who cares at the end of the day? It's important, but it's not the most important thing. Number eight, engage with your local communities, local politicians. Go to the fucking Department of Buildings. Go to the town halls. Engage, so you can see what projects are coming in the pipeline, so you know exactly where you need to invest. Prioritize your due diligence is number nine. And number 10 is plan for long-term sustainability, right? Fast money ain't good money, ladies and gentlemen. The faster you can make it, the faster you can lose it. Slow motion is better than no motion.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them. Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Plan for the long term. Plan to be in this for a very long time. Don't be chasing waterfalls, please. Okay? So that's my story about Trump. Okay? And I see a couple of you guys have definitely been typing this in chat. You may want to go on a replay to hear this all again. But if you got value from the first segment of today's show, type yes in chat, throw some fire in the chat, all right, because we're about to move over to segment two, okay? That's the Trump segment. So everybody who came here for Trump, that's all I got for you right now. To be continued as more things come out with this new administration, all right? So now let's go into part two of this conversation. This is going to be great, man. This is going to be a great part of the conversation. I'm actually looking forward to this. I see I got my special guest. She's ready to rock and roll. So first of all, I want to tell you guys before I bring Maya on, make sure you guys, everybody download Rants and Gems on all podcast audio outlets. And also tomorrow is session two of the Real Estate Investing Bootcamp. Okay. Tomorrow is session two of the Real Estate Investing Bootcamp. We're starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you are not a part of the bootcamp, I'm going to put the link in the YouTube chat so that way you guys can sign up. It's now more important than ever for you guys to be a part of these bootcamps and challenges and things like that that I do. Because with Trump in office and you see day one, he's out here signing executive orders away. There's going to be a lot that's going to come down a pipeline within the next few weeks. And if you don't know how to navigate properly, and if you don't have the right mentorship, you need to be a part of what I'm doing. But join the boot camp. We got session two starting tomorrow, and it's going to be a fire one. All right. All right. Link is in the chat for that. So now, second part of today's show. I started a series called Fundamental Fridays. It went up in flames in 1 week. I ain't gonna hold you. Yo, we had so many issues with the Wi-Fi on my end. And after speaking to a couple of my mentees this past weekend, I decided to kind of consolidate a lot of my content and just instead of doing Tuesdays and Thursdays on YouTube and then Fundamental Fridays on Fridays, I've decided to do my Tuesday, Thursday episode and Fundamental Fridays and make it one big Rants and Gems. So that way you guys are just not overwhelmed with content, right? And that was kind of the thing that a couple of my mentees have brought to my attention. So shout out to my mentees, man. First of all, I'm not opposed to getting constructive criticism or coaching. I'm always here for that. Right. And one thing I never want to do for you guys is overwhelm you guys with so much content, because not only am I doing stuff for free, I got a lot of stuff going behind the paywall as well. So I don't want to overwhelm you guys where it's content coming from me for all days. So moving forward, there will only be one show a week for Rants and Gems here on my YouTube channel, which is today. Right. And then I'm basically combining what I would talk about on Thursday and on Fundamental Fridays all in one show. So now we're going to probably be on here for an hour to 90 minutes every Tuesday. But today is probably going to be more like an hour. And my guest for Fundamental Fridays was someone who reached out to me via DM. And she was a 203K loan right now. And there was a lot of questions about her 203K loan. But you know what? I'm going to bring her on right now so that way she can tell her story, because I know she's on a time constraint too, and I want to kind of get to everything. So, Maya, I am adding you onto the stage right now. Maya, how are you today? How's everything going?
Hi, I'm well. How are you?
You know, I'm alive and blessed. I can't complain. Alive and blessed. So introduce yourself for the people, Maya, so they know exactly who you are.
Hi, I'm Maya. I'm going through the 203K process out here in New York. I reached out to him because, you know, I had a lot of questions. I had a lot of concerns. I didn't know if I was going in the best direction or if I was getting the best deal.
Okay, so talk about those pain points that you have with the 203K loan and what problems that you, of why you reached out to me.
Well, the biggest concern was when I first started the process with my lender, he was saying, oh, well, this is the most everything's going to be. Few months down the line, it just got so expensive. So I'm like, wait, you know, back up, hold on, let's pause. Let's work through every step of this loan, this deal, to make sure it makes sense for me, because I don't want to be paying so much money just to get into a home, especially with the economy on the rise.
Yeah, no, I mean, so Maya sent me her loan estimate, and immediately once I looked at the loan estimate, I said, wait a minute, this is kind of crazy. there was a lot of fees. And then I immediately said, look, instead of me going back and forth with DM, yo, here's my number. Let's get on a call, because I can probably, you know, instead of going back and forth for 2 hours on DMs, let me just talk to you real quick and just kind of break down what I'm seeing was wrong. So one of the first things that I noticed was the points that was being charged to you for the rate that you was getting. So they were quoting you like 6.75%, but they were charging you like 16,000 in points. Now, everybody, do you understand what points are? Type yes in chat in the comments, please. Type yes in chat if you understand points. If you don't understand points, type no in chat. Just so I want to make sure, do I have to explain what points are? Because if I don't, I'm going to just keep moving. Okay, right now, everybody's saying yes, they understand points. We got one person saying no, two people saying no. Real quick, points are basically prepaid interest, right? So when you buying points, typically 1 point is equivalent to buying your rate down 0.25% on your interest rate. And in Maya's case, you know, she's doing a 203K. She's buying a house for like 690, I believe, and doing about 140,000 worth of work, right?
Yeah.
So every point
with my credit score.
Go ahead.
My credit score is high. My fiance's credit score was around 699. So they use the lowest credit score, which is annoying. So they said the best they can do was around, I think it was like a 7.25. And to buy down, we were trying to get down to a 6.5, a 6.75, just to make sure the mortgage wasn't too crazy. Now, buying down, they were trying to charge at first like 2.4 points. And then I think we're around, I'm not sure of the number, but on the paper, but I think it is still 2.4, between 2 and 2.4. And I just felt like that was crazy, because off the gate, that's 16,000 that we're charging on our closing costs, plus so many fees on top of fees on top of fees that I didn't even understand.
Yeah, the 16,000 was kind of outrageous to me, right? Like, and that was one of the first things that I noticed. I'm like, wait a minute, like 16,000, because this is an $800,000 loan. Like, that's a lot of money to only be saving, like you said, you was going from 7.25% to 6.75%. So it made sense from a point perspective. They charge you two, you lower your rate by half a point. But that's when I immediately started looking at interest rates in the market and just seeing what was available. And that's why I immediately told you, I said, nah, Maya, you're overpaying by like $10,000 right now. Like, easy. And just to give you some more updates on that, because I didn't even get the chance, because we were supposed to talk before this, but we didn't really have a chance to talk. Those savings are even more as of today, right? So right now, those savings, I told you with the 6.75 I think I was telling you last week it was 6.625. My people could have got you at 1 point. Right now, today is 6.5% with 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go from that 6.75 of 2 points and now go 0.25% lower than what they quoted you and still save over $10,000 in fees just with that alone. Right. So they definitely are overcharging you, in my opinion, just of what I've seen. And then there was a lot of different other fees. I know you had questions about like the FHA 203K supplemental fee.
Yeah.
Now that fee was like $2,300. And that's definitely a standard fee. Because that fee is the FHA supplemental fee is to manage like the escrow account that manages your draw, your construction money. So that wasn't for your loan amount, that wasn't an astronomical charge. That's definitely standard, right? And any lender that you will work with will probably charge the same amount because that's kind of governed by FHA.
Yeah, and then we had the underwriting fee, and I think you said that was like an okay price for the underwriting fee.
Yeah, the underwriting fee, I think it was what, $1,600 or something like that?
Yeah, $1,695.
Yeah, that's fine, right? Because most, and just so you guys know, right, underwriting fees, wherever you go to any lender, is probably going to be anywhere between $1,250 and $2,000, just depending on the loan and the product that you're doing. So for you to be in that halfway mark, I thought was a decent fee.
I'm trying to go through the other fees. And I guess for the FHA 203, you have to do the premium insurance, their PMI.
Correct. And
on top of that, the homeowner's insurance, which I really knew, but then when the numbers pile up and then you have to go into closing costs, it just really added up, which was a little scary.
Yeah, it looks astronomical, right? Once you start adding, because that FHA fee, like how much was the FHA fee? Like 10,000, 15,000, something like that?
14.
The upfront mortgage insurance premium. What was that?
14,000. It was 14 as well.
Right. And that, yeah. And that just looks crazy when you're looking at it, right? It's like you got 16,000 here, 14,000 here, you got 10,000. Like all these fees just add up. But that FHA fee, that is a standard fee, universal. That's what FHA charges to do FHA loans. And that gets financed into your mortgage. But here's the thing that I'm seeing with your situation, and I'm seeing what most people are like, is that when folks are doing these type of specialty rehab loans, especially with FHA, because it could be costly, it just seems like it wasn't explained to you why each fee was being charged. Is that correct assumption?
Yes, that's how I felt. I mean, they kind of explained it, but I just feel like when you just explain so much at the same time, it was just hard to just digest it. I just needed someone to kind of break it down in a better way for myself.
I can hear you now.
Okay, yeah. I just feel like I needed someone to really break it down because it wasn't being explained properly. And it was just too much. I think when we first started the process, they just overloaded me with information. And now we're at the end and it's like, wait, hold on. Fees on top of fees on top of fees.
Yeah, no, I could definitely understand that. So let me ask you this, right? Because I know you got a hard stop coming up in a few minutes. And I want to really get to like, you learned so far going through this process, right? What advice would you give to the audience right now who might be thinking about doing a 203K? What are like two or three things you can tell folks like to how to prepare for going through this 203K process to make their process a lot more streamlined?
Well, I feel like for any loan to homeownership, I feel like I wish I would have went on these grant sites and try to get grants before I even started, because once I once we were under contract, a lot of those grants denied us. So I didn't know that at first. But a big thing with the 203K was getting an architect beforehand, getting a contractor beforehand. And that's really why I reached out to you, because in your videos, you made that clear, like, yo, you need that beforehand so you're on top of your game, because this process is quick. It moves fast. And if you don't have everything lined up, you could lose out on this loan. So I would definitely tell people, get your, if you go through an architect, get your architect and line up at least three contractors before you even are under contract. And the last thing is just actually don't be scared to ask questions, because I just felt like at first I'm like, oh, I'm going to sound stupid. I don't know what's going on. I should know better. And it's like, no, this is a learning experience. So like, should definitely not feel scared to ask and re-ask until you actually know what's going on.
Ask a lot of questions. I think that's extremely important. You know, no question is a stupid question. And I always try to tell people that, right? The more you ask and the more you learn, the more you're going to earn. And I think in your situation, look, thank you. Did DM me, and I actually did see the DM and take time to look at it, because ultimately, at the end of the day, that DM could potentially now save you well over $10,000 upfront cost, and then the amount of interest that you're probably going to save by dropping your rate another 0.25% could be astronomical. You know, that could be tens of thousands of dollars over for the life of the loan, right? So I would say I will also add to your tips would be learn as much as possible before you go into these type of loans, right? These are not easy loans to deal with. There's a lot of moving parts. So the more education that anyone can have with understanding closing costs and what these fees are. So that way, when you first seeing your loan estimates and you hearing what somebody is saying from the beginning, you already know, like, wait a minute, you're telling me my costs are going to be this, but I took this training already. Like, I know it's going to be more. So I know, oh, you don't know what you're doing, right? Like you're treating this like a regular loan when it's not a regular loan, right? So I would say the more you learn, the more you earn. Because in this case, if you didn't reach out, it could have cost your family, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. So I'm definitely happy that you did reach out to me, and you know, you guys are on your way to saving some money because of it.
Yeah, definitely. Another point, like you just said, a lot of people act like they do know, your lender, your realtor, even these contractors act like they know what they're talking about. They know how to deal with the 203K, but they really don't. They're just winging it and learning as we go. And, you know, I don't want to be that project for these contractors, these lenders. I really want someone who actually knows, and I want to be able to tell, to vet these people out.
I love that. That's I'm glad you caught that in my videos, because I think I say that all the time. Just because a lender say they offer these type of loans, it doesn't mean they really close these type of deals and they really understand how to navigate and work with contractors and realtors and buyers like yourself to make this process as streamlined as possible. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. So look, before we go, because again, I know I want to be respectful of your time, because I know you had a hard stop coming up at 8 o'clock and it's around 7:52 right now. I want you, because you have a dope business, right? And we were talking about that offline. So I want you to kind of, you know, talk about your brand and your business as well.
Yeah, I'm an event planner out here in New York and New Jersey. My business is called The Eventologist. On Instagram, Eventologist, and all social medias. but I do a lot of events in New York, New Jersey, celebrity events, baby showers, birthday parties. And I also do cakes, catering, balloon arrangements, floral arrangements, different things for Valentine's Day. You know, just check me out on all social media platforms. My company.
You want to drop a name or two real quick of who you're just working with?
Well, I think the last big event I did was Nelly threw Ashanti a party out here in Long Island. That was like a big event. But I do family events. I love weddings, baby showers, whatever you need. I can cater to you for a great price.
There you have it. Tell them how to follow you.
Follow me on Instagram at the eventologist. Because I have a PhD when it comes to the party.
There you have it. I love it. I love it. So look, make sure you guys follow my girl Maya. And type it in chat too, so that way people have it as well. And on the show notes, I'm definitely going to put your Instagram information and everything in the show notes of this as well. But I definitely thank you for taking the time to come on the show tonight. I know we're supposed to do this Friday, and I had the Wi-Fi issues, which will be fixed on Thursday, thank God. But I thank you for taking the time on a Tuesday night and coming on and just kind of sharing your story. And I hope the information that you gave out tonight would definitely help somebody else with their 203K. So I definitely appreciate you, Maya, and your time tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks.
All right. Have a good night. All right.
You too. All right. Bye.
All right, y'all. Shout out to Maya. Make sure y'all tap in with her. A lot of gems in today's episode. Like I said, 203K is definitely not an easy loan. It is definitely more difficult if you're working with the wrong people. Let me ask you guys a question. Since we were speaking on 203Ks, should I do a 203K 5-day boot camp to teach you in 5 days everything you need to know about a 203K loan? Let's take a poll right now, because I'm really feeling like there's a lot of people that are kind of in the same boat as Maya is. So if you are interested in that, type yes in chat. Matter of fact, send me a DM on Instagram. Just send me a DM that says 203K. 203K, if you are you definitely interested in something like that. 5-day boot camp, Monday through Friday. I'll figure out the time of when I'll do it, as far as, you know, whether I do it in the afternoon or I do it in the evening times. But would that be helpful for you guys here on my YouTube channel to kind of go through the 203K loan, the ins, the outs, and everything that you need? There'll be a live course, but in 5 days, we'll knock out everything you need to know as far as the fees are concerned, working with contractors, lenders, I mean, the whole nine yards. If you think that would be of value to you, type yes in chat for the FHA 203K 5-day boot camp. Would that help you out? I need to hear from you guys. A lot of yeses in the comments right now. So if I get a lot of yeses on a replay of this video too, if I get a lot of DMs about this, I'll create this class, this boot camp, and we can do this shit in 2 weeks. Like, that's how we gonna roll in 2025. Success loves speed, right? Success loves speed. Okay, we're not coming to mess around in 2025. So if, like I said, if this is something that you will be interested, a 203K 5-day boot camp, type yes in chat. Send me a DM. DM me the word 203K, and I'll see it, and I'll send you a link to sign up. How about that? Okay. And if you're on the 90-day real estate investing bootcamp, matter of fact, I'm going to have all the details. I'm going to announce those details tomorrow on the real estate investing bootcamp. So my tees, you guys will be the first to know about that tomorrow. So if you're not a part of the real estate investing bootcamp, which is a 90-day real estate bootcamp, we're coming to you every other Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Last 2 weeks ago, the first session was fire. We got a great session tomorrow. We're talking finance and fundamentals. I'm bringing in business credit, traditional finance, and I might speak a little bit tomorrow as well. So it's going to be great. So link is in the chat. You'll see it right there. Link is in the chat if you want to be a part of the 90-day real estate investing bootcamp. But the 203K 5-day bootcamp coming in 2 weeks. Be ready. All right. So that's all I got for you guys. I appreciate you tapping in with me today. We're coming up on 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll see you guys next week, unless something else great comes up over the next couple days that's worthy of me getting back here on YouTube and talking a little bit more. All right. Other than that, download Rants and Gems on all podcast audio outlets. And if you want to be a part of the 5-day 203K bootcamp, DM me the word bootcamp right now, and I'm going to send you a link so you can sign up. All right. Matt Garland here. I love you guys. Stay warm because it's cold outside. Peace.